Good morning. We are glad you're here today. I don't want to take up a lot of time with announcements, but I look around and there's a lot of new faces, familiar faces, some faces I haven't seen in a while, some faces this is the first time that I've seen them. So I'm very glad you are here. I do want to let you know that today is obviously our Christmas program, and it's not necessarily... I'm going to talk at the end for a little while. I'm not going to preach for a really long time or anything like that. But next Sunday morning is the 21st. That is when we're going to go over the traditional Christmas story in the sermon. And it's going to be a great Sunday to come to as well. So if you don't have a place you normally go and you're here this week, maybe come back next Sunday as well. We'd love to have you then. And I think there was bulletins available as you walked in. Those have anything important going on over the next couple weeks as far as announcements go. Make sure you look over those, read over those, and that way you understand everything that's going on. If you have any questions, you can certainly talk to myself or Pastor Don, the guy up there waving his arms with the red tie. Occasionally, I used to have to lead songs, and I was told that I did the karate chop. And... people didn't really like that, so Pastor Don, when he does it, it actually means something. So, but if you have any questions, you can talk to me, you can talk to Pastor Don. If you look around and there's a guy with an usher tag on, they would probably be able to help you or direct you to someplace too. So feel free to ask any questions or get any help that you need. But I think that's all I have to say. So if you would, bow your heads and close your eyes, and we'll say a short prayer. And we'll pray for the children too that are probably a little bit nervous. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful for this day and this chance to get together as church family and friends and sing praises to you and worship you and learn a little bit about you. And Lord, we're thankful for all these children and these students that have been learning their lines, learning these songs. Lord, calm their nerves and watch over them so that they can do a good job for your glory. And Lord, we would just hope and pray that everything that's said and done would just be meaningful and memorable and something that maybe we would even look back years from now and think about how awesome you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Number 125 in your book is Joy to the World. You may remain seated. The choir is going to stand and the children will be coming in. Parents, grandparents, and anybody, if you want to come up front for the pictures, not your pictures, for you to take pictures, you're welcome to do so, okay? Joy to the World, number 125.
Just and quick to forgive. 1 John 1, 9.
Who we call Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Matthew 1, 23.
Who seeks and saves does the lost. Luke 19:10.
Who is unchangeable. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8.
He did not say...
Who is not
Santa's not for the season.
I told you to do it. I need to do it.
Jesus is the reason for the season.
Unto them, fear not,
adult luncheon. I guess it's at noon, which is normally the time you have a luncheon. And ladies, it is a wonderful opportunity to wear all those marvelous Christmas sweaters you've manufactured or been given. And guys, you get to wear the hideous abominations that you've been stuck with also. Just something to make it a little more interesting as far as that goes. And then on Christmas Eve, we're going to be doing a Silent Night Christmas. It is much like a candlelight service, except without the candles. But it's going to be quiet, lasts about an hour on Christmas Eve night. And we do some singing, we read through the Christmas story, and take a time to just breathe during the Christmas season. Right now, Away in the Manger, it's number 157. You may remain seated.
I don't know if on the way in this morning, just inside the second set of glass doors, and there's a smaller Christmas tree there, and that's something our church has been doing for a few years. It's called the Christmas Giving Tree, and on the tree is all kinds of names, and apparently there's five names left, but we have names of different students that come to church and different other students that we know would like maybe some help or some things for Christmas. Things like coats and shoes and stuff like that. And you take a name off the tree and you see sort of the size and the gender of the child, and then you go get the item that's on there. And a number of you have taken names, and all those things, if you can, try to have them back by this Wednesday. And like I said, there's five names left, and we'd love to be able to participate in that ministry, and I know the students that get those items are really appreciative. So just consider that. Think about that a little bit. And then my next task is not spilling this water. If you have a Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 53. If you aren't exactly sure where that might be, you can go ahead and grab one of those black books in the pew in front of you, and you can turn to page 847. It's page 847, and I'm asking you to turn there because I want you all to see for yourself something that these verses say, something that they are teaching. And these verses really do an excellent job at explaining the human heart. I know science and I know psychology tries to explain what we are and what we're made of and all about our conditions. Psychologists try to figure out why we are the way they are, and they ask us all kinds of questions like, what is wrong with you, and why are you never satisfied? Why are you so selfish? Why are you prone to anger and addiction? Why do we tend to drift into laziness? Psychologists has given us answers to all those questions. One of the primary answers that they give is they say, well, it's your environment. You are the way you are because of the way that you were raised. You are the way you are because of the situation that is surrounding you in your life. And psychology likes to blame all these externals for all of our mental and emotional problems. But the Bible says something much, much different. The Bible says that all of our problems, the reason why we get angry, the reason why we succumb to addiction, the reason why we drift into laziness and apathy, the reason why we do all those things is because we were born in sin. We have sin inside our hearts, and that's why we are prone to lust and prone to selfishness and all the other things. Let's read these verses in Isaiah 53, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. It starts in verse 3, and it talks about he, and he's capitalized because that's actually talking about Jesus Christ. So verse 3, it says, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. Did you notice verse 6? I think this is a very key idea for us to make sure we understand and get. Every one of us, each and every person, has gone astray. We've all sinned. We all want to do our own thing apart from what God wants us to do. So our heart problem and our emotional problem and all our other problems are related to our sin problem. Now, I do understand that when you read something like this, oh, we've all gone astray. I think we all understand that some of us go farther astray than others. Some of us go really astray. You know what I'm talking about? Some of us do crazy, crazy stuff, and they go way off the deep end, while others don't stray as far. But that's not the point. The point is everyone has strayed. Everyone is lost. Everyone is dying. Everyone is separated from God. And I know this is Christmas. And I know at Christmas time we're supposed to be jolly, right? That's the word everybody likes to use, jolly, okay? I know we're supposed to be jolly, but friends, what I have to do is I have to be honest. Everyone's on their way to hell. That's bad news. It doesn't matter if you didn't go really astray. It doesn't matter if you've never been drunk or never been high. It doesn't even matter if you have Sunday school ribbons all over your room decorating it. You still went astray. And it doesn't say some people went astray and some didn't. It says everyone strayed. Everyone's abandoned God's ideal way of life for what they thought was best. And people do this because they think they're smarter than God. Well, Pastor Josh, that's a pretty bold statement. I've never heard anyone say that they thought they were smarter than God. I highly doubt many people actually think that. I'd like to challenge you with a thought. I say that people think they're smarter than God because the directions listed in this book, people don't follow them. They don't obey them. They don't listen to them. So naturally, I think that means that they must think they have a better idea than God's idea. I've been married for just about 7 years. Here in a couple weeks, it'll be 7 years. And it's been a really great, great time. You can talk to my wife about that after church. During that time period, my wife has purchased several pieces of furniture. In the previous 26 years that I was alive, before I was married, I bought like 2 pieces of furniture. And one was a TV, the other was a radio. And some of you are thinking, those things aren't even furniture, okay? To a guy, they are furniture. But since I've been married, she buys things because she wants the house to look pretty. And I'm cool with that. I'm cool with having a nice couch to sit on and a nice bed to sleep on, and that's fine. So we get this furniture, and it seems like all of this furniture comes in this big box, and when you first open it, there's this paper that says, some assembly required. Has anybody ever seen that, experienced that? Okay, it's not just me. I always, always, always follow those directions. You can learn some remarkable things when you read the directions. Like first and foremost, how to put it together correctly. That's the reason why I look at directions. Because when I sit on the chair that I just assembled, I don't want to fall on the floor. Have you ever met somebody that thinks they know better than directions? They toss the directions to the side. Those are the people with sore backsides because when they sat on their chairs, they broke. They thought they knew better, and they paid a price. And my friends, if you toss aside God's directions, if you think you know better, you will pay a price. And I know that sounds harsh. I know that's not the most amazing Christmas message you've ever heard, but I tell you this because God tells us this. And I'll never gloss over something just to make us feel better. I'll always be honest with you. Now, just to change gears for a moment, church is a place where you can be honest. So I want you to be honest with yourself this morning. How many had a tough week this week? Anybody? A couple of you, your hands just shot up really super fast, okay? Probably just about all of us had a tough week this past week. Some of you are struggling with pain, with sickness, illness. Others of you have family issues. Some of you have problems with your job. Some of you are looking for a job. Others have overwhelming stress, and it just feels like you're being pushed and crushed on all sides. Some of you are being bullied. You're being made fun of. Your feelings are being hurt. All of us, in one way or another, have had a tough week. We'll look down at verse 4 in Isaiah 53. It says, Jesus has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Verse 5 goes on to say that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. Those are our sins, folks. Jesus took our sins upon himself, and since every one of us have sinned, every one of us has gone astray, that's a lot of sins that Jesus took upon himself. And I never want you to forget that. So as I said last week, trees, lights, presents, cards, cookies, and everything else, all great things. But never forget the reason Jesus was born. It was to rescue us. We all went astray. We're all lost and dying and going to hell. But Jesus came to change all of that. He came to save us. One of the things I've noticed about men, and this is true with me and probably true with a lot of you, and probably some of you guys are about to get elbowed in the side, and that's fine. Sometimes we need that. One of the things I've noticed about men is we don't like to go to the doctor. Men don't like to go to the doctor. Well, Jim, you're bleeding out of your ears. I'll be fine. Just give me a couple Band-Aids. No, seriously, Jim, there's a gallon of blood on the floor. Oh, it's nothing. It's nothing. And then maybe once you finally do get to the doctor and he gives you these directions and he sort of tells you what to do to cure your problem, what if you were like, no thanks, doc. I think I've got it all figured out. I'm just going to slap a couple Band-Aids on it and I'll be okay. Well, rejecting Jesus would be like that. We have this serious problem, and we need a Savior, and we need cleansed from sin. We need to be rescued, and Jesus is that Savior. He offers salvation. And the best part of salvation, and where this ties in with Christmas, is that it's free. Salvation's a gift. It's like a present. And I know a lot of people get confused about salvation, and over the years, people have come up with all these weird things. Well, you got to do this, this, and this. And some people are too scared to even talk about salvation because they don't want to tell somebody the wrong way. But it's really as easy as ABC, the ABCs. A, admit you're a sinner and that you've made mistakes. Then you ask him to forgive you. 1 John 1:9 that somebody quoted up here, one of the children, says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A, admit you're a sinner and ask him to forgive you. B, believe that Jesus is God's son and that he died on the cross and rose again. 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then C is call. Call on him to save you, Tell them that you want a spot saved for you in heaven. Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can't do this on your own. You can't save yourself. We can't even get through life day to day by ourselves without making a royal mess of things. So what makes anyone think that you'll be able to get to heaven without God's help? We all need Jesus. That's why he came. Jesus was born to rescue all of us lost sheep. If everyone could bow your heads and close your eyes, and I'm not going to do anything weird here either. But I just want you to close your eyes because this is a serious time. I don't want anyone looking around. I'm not going to zap anyone or anything like that, okay? I just want you to concentrate as I ask you a couple questions. I want you to focus on yourself and God. Think about this question. Where are you at spiritually? Where are you at with God? Are you saved and on your way to heaven, or are you still lost and on your way to hell? Only you can answer that question. You know and God knows. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, the Lord knows who are his. He knows whether or not you've been genuinely saved. He knows whether you just prayed a prayer to get your mom off your back. He knows if you prayed with the pastor because all of your friends were doing it. He knows if you meant it or not. I don't. Honestly, you can fake me out all day, but you can't trick God. So maybe for the first time in your life, you need to be saved. Admit you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus died and rose again, and call on him to save you. Dear God, thank you for each and every person here. Thank you for the children and the young people and the students that we're here and put on this little program. We're just thankful for each one of them. We ask that you guide them through their lives and protect them, keep them from evil and temptation. We're also thankful, Lord, for the Christmas season and the reminder that Jesus came as a baby, but he didn't stay that way. Father God, thank you that Jesus grew up and he died for our sins, taking our penalty. And then we're thankful that Jesus rose again in victory over death. But my prayer is this morning that there will be maybe one person who, for the very first time, truly puts their faith in you and your Son. And instead of ignoring the directions in this book, and instead of rejecting Jesus, that they would go all in and get saved today. There are so many people in here that have done that, but there's some in here that still need to do that. And only you know what is going on inside each person's heart and mind, and I ask that your Spirit would expose sin and convict those who need to be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Number 328, have you any room for Jesus? Would you stand with me, please? The song again, 328, have you any room for Jesus? He who bore
you. In the last few weeks, many of you have contributed to a gift for the pastors. And a verse came to mind to me this morning, and that's 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. And I believe this morning we just had a realization of a man whose heart is with us. Okay, and Pastor Don is the same way. They love us, and we want to thank them in a way that they can appreciate, yes, it's money, and Many of you contributed to the pastor appreciation gift, and some of you gave some money a little late, and that's just fantastic. That's fine. So there are a couple of cards here, and I believe there is over $500 for each family. So that's wonderful appreciation. Thank you, brother.
We can give better thanks tonight. We can thank them later after we count it. No, I'm kidding. We'd love to see you back tonight. We have been talking about the whole armor of God, but tonight we're switching gears a little bit. We're talking about eternal security. And a lot of people that maybe get saved, they worry if they can lose their salvation or whatnot. So we're going to get into that tonight a little bit. So if you don't have anything to do, come back around 6. You're dismissed.